Tonight is Tuesday night, May 21st, or Yud Gimel of Sivan. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Masecha Sukkah, the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph.
Hey, Rabotai. We started the Mishnah last week on the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, and I have several ha'arot on that which we already read last week. The Mishnah introduces the actual description of Simchat Beit HaShoeva with a broad sweeping statement, which does not seem to have any halachic imperative. Mi shelo ra'a simchat beit ha'shoeva, lo ra'a simcha miyamav. So says the Mishnah. There are actually two other such parallel statements in the Gemara. One is, mi shelo ra'a Yerushalayim betif arta, lo ra'a krach nechmad. Anybody who has not seen Yerushalayim in its splendor and its glory has not seen a beautiful city. Or, mi shelo ra'a beis hamikdash b'binyano, anybody who has not been privileged to see the Beit HaMikdash while it has been in its heyday, lo ra'a binyan mifu'ar miyamav, has not seen as beautiful building in his entire life. These are all nice little descriptions, but the Rav felt that if the Mishnah is quoting it, there must be some halachic significance to it. So if you flash back for a moment to Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Towards the bottom of the page, I believe it is Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Yes, there it is. The Mishnah made a statement and said that initially the mitzvah of Arba Minim was only observed mid-Oraisa in the Beis HaMikdash 7 days. All Eretz Yisrael took Arba Minim day number one, and then all 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash, according to the Rambam, all of Yerushalayim took it 7 days. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, amongst many of his takanot, made a takana, Shehe Lulav Nitel Kol Shiva Zeichel HaMikdash. So the Gemara asks, Minolon da Avdinan Zeichel HaMikdash. How do you know that you're supposed to engage in an activity to somehow commemorate the Mikdash? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk and says, Tzion Doresh Ein La. I believe it's Yirmiyahu who bemoans the fact that nobody is seeking out the welfare of Tzion. Says the Gemara, Michlal Dabai Drisha. If Yirmiyahu is complaining that nobody is seeking out the welfare of Yerushalayim, Doresh Ein La, apparently you're supposed to seek out the welfare of Yerushalayim. So there are two ways in which we somehow develop a way to go ahead and remember Yerushalayim. There are two different strategic formats. One is to remember Yerushalayim based on the fact that it's been destroyed. So there are certain activities which we do to remember Yerushalayim, b'churbana. At a wedding, we break the glass. Many, according to Tosfos, you put the ashes on the forehead of the chasan. So there are certain activities which are designed to let us know that the Beis HaMikdash is in a state of destruction. Counting of the Omer, according to the Baal Hamor, today is a Zeichel HaMikdash. And that the Avelus associated with the Omer days has nothing to do with the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva, but it's based on the fact that we mourn the destruction of the Mikdash for 7 weeks. And that's why, afterwards, you say, Yehirat Harachaman, who yachsir lanu avoidas beis hamikdash limkaima amein sela. We don't say this Harachaman when you take Arba Minim all 7 days, even though also Zeichel HaMikdash. Because that's a different type of Zeichel HaMikdash. There is a second type of Zeichel HaMikdash, as we pointed out, where you try to recreate in your mind and in practice what Yerushalayim was when the Mikdash was standing. So whatever activity they did in the Mikdash, we will do in Chutz Laretz, to somehow keep the mindset of Yerushalayim in our mind. Had the Beis HaMikdash been standing, we would be taking the lulav today in the Beis HaMikdash. That's not a zecher lechurban hamikdash. That's a zecher lekiyum hamikdash. You try to recreate life the way it has been done in the Beis Hamikdash. When we eat korech at the Seder Pesach at night, it's not to remember the Churban HaMikdash, it's to recreate, had the Halacha been like Hillel, we'd be eating Pesach Matzah and Maror together. One of the other strategic ways in which we remember Yerushalayim is, again, in the Kinos, which we recite on Tisha B'Av, you have two formats. The first 20 or so describe Yerushalayim B'Churbana, based on the psukim of Megillas Eicha. It's empty, barren, people eating their children, we're the scums of the earth. Then the last 10 keynote, which are not written by Eliezer HaKalir, whose style was dirges and so on and so forth, but rather written by Yehuda Halevi, beginning with the phrase, Tzion halo tishali l'shlom asirayich, is you describe Yerushalayim in its beauty, in its heyday. And when you describe Yerushalayim in its heyday, that creates a longing, oh, I wish I could experience that again. So there's one way to commemorate Yerushalayim by saying that today, describing the facts on the ground. And there is another way to describe it based on using your imagination about what is something, which you wish you had an opportunity to experience. Here the Mishnah is using that description as trying to convey to us what we should be longing for. Mi shelo ra'a simchas beis ha-shoeva, lo ra'a simcha miyamav. And the Mishnah describes it. So it's trying to paint for you what the simchas beis ha-shoeva was, to create some degree of craving to appear and participate in Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So it's not just a statement to tell you how beautiful, how whatever great Simcha it was, but it helps fulfill the mandate of Tzion Doresh Ein La, Michlal Debayid Risha. So you make an equivalent statement. Mi Shelo Ra Yerushalayim B'Tif Arta, Lo Ra Ir Nechmad Miyamav. Again, trying for us to picture a beautiful city of Yerushalayim as opposed to the reality that existed. Don't forget the formulation of the Mishnah, the redaction of the Mishnah took place 130 years after the Churban. And yet they're trying to recreate as if what's happening so that we will somehow covet that experience and maintain and forge our relationship with Yerushalayim. So it's not simply a descriptive term, but in effect is rooted within the halacha. Point number two. The Mishnah made a statement that in order to make sure that there was no inappropriate activity between men and women, they made a tikkun gadol by establishing these balconies in the Ezras Nashim, and the women would be standing on the balconies. This halacha of tikkun gadol, to make sure that inappropriate activity does not take place in the Mikdash, is also rooted in a halacha. The halacha states, and we recite this in our tefillah of Al Hanisim every Chanukah, that va'achakein bol banecha levir esecha. What did they do? Ufinu esheicholecha, v'tiharu esmigdashecha, and then first v'edliku neirus b'chatzros koshecha. So, what does ufinu esheicholecha mean? What does it mean? They removed avodah zarah from the Beis Hamikdash because avodah zarah desecrates kedushas hamikdash. Part of Shmiras HaMikdash is not only to assure that there is no Tumah in the Mikdash, that's one element, that a part of the responsibility of the Leviim, who are Shomrei HaMikdash, is to make sure that there is no Tumah in the Mikdash. If you remember the last mission, Chagiga, they would remind people, please don't touch the utensils, because, especially the Shulchan, because if it's going to become Tamei, we're going to have to remove the Lechem Apanim, and the Torah says there has to be Lechem Apanai Tamid, can't have 5 minutes without the Lechem Apanim. So you remember all of that? So there is an element of maintaining Kiddushas Makom HaMikdash by the absence, by creating an Avera-free zone. And in fact, yeah, there are people here, sitting right here, from Edot HaMizrach. Correct? Good. Nobody from Edot HaMizrach? Nobody? You know, of course you are. So now, I don't want to put you a test. Do you remember how the Edot HaMizrach Haftarah of Parshas Shkalim differs from the Ashkenazic version? They start 4 or 5 psukim earlier. The Ashkenazim, the way we read it, we start Ben Sheva Shanim Yehoash B'molcho. And the entire rest of the Haftarah, and the phrase appears 50 times, L'chazek et bedek habayit. That there is to go ahead and to fortify the Mikdash. It was fall apart. So they had to do, you have to maintain the physical splendor of the Mikdash. And you have to take care of that as well. And if the building is falling apart, you had to make sure that you contribute the Machzis HaShekel so that it would be used, L'chazek et bedek habayit. However, the Sephardim start a couple of psukim earlier. And they start with Vayichros Yehoyada. If you remember the phrases, Vayichros Yehoyada, and here it says the 2 psukim later, Vayitetzuhu Mizbechotav Ve'etzlamav Shiberu. What did they do? They took the Tselem. There was a Tselem there put in as well, and they destroyed it. Now, why is that important for Parshas Shkalim? Why did the Sfardim feel that those 4 or 5 psukim that they went ahead and destroyed the tzlamim and destroyed the matzevot, the inappropriate mizbechot that were built in the mikdash? Why is that appropriate for Parshas Shkalim? So the Rav suggested because that too is lichazek bedek habayit. If you have inappropriate activity taking place in the Mikdash, people putting in tselem, people building inappropriate mizbechot, that also requires the bedek habayis to fortify the house. And here, this is again to discourage, to prevent inappropriate social interaction between men and women is part of the halach of Shmiras HaMikdash, and hence, again, it fits into a halachic construct. Point number three. The Mishnah says that they took minorot shel zahav and the sifalim, the bowls on top upon which the lug shemen was placed in, or mea 120 kadim of shemen was made out of gold. And many asked this question. In Bayit Sheni, which the Mishnah is probably reflecting, life in the Bayit Sheni, not Bayit Rishon, because the early Chachmei HaMishnah lived during Bayit Sheni. So they can speak of their experiences, not just from history books. Life during Bayit Sheni was not very, Am Yisrael were not particularly wealthy during the second Beis HaMikdash. They were pretty poor. In fact, we know for a fact that the menorah in the second Beis HaMikdash was not made out of gold. It was made out of lead. And yet, here, they went out of their way specifically to take gold for these menorot, not the menorah which you'd be lighting, you know, every single night, but the menorah that was be used for Simchas Beis HaMikdash were made out of gold. Why was there such a demand or an insistence on gold, and it did not reflect the reality of the poverty that was widespread during Bayit Sheni? And in fact, the Gemara in Brachos tells us that based on this, they instituted Havdalah in Chayin Adas. Havdalah should have been recited only where? Alakos. That's the only place you should have said Havdalah. Why? Because as opposed to Kiddush has a halacha which is not necessarily related to Kiddush Alakos, but the recitation of a bracha describing the Kiddush HaSayim of Shabbos is a very appropriate one for davening. It's predicated upon the halacha, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, says the Gemara in Brachos in the sixth parak, B'chol Yom Vayom, Tein Lo Me'ein Berchosav. Every day that there is a special day, you ought to create a bracha that reflects the unique aspect of that particular day. So on Yontif, it's Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim. On Rosh Chodesh, Mekadesh Yisrael Vashichadashim. On Shabbos, Mekadesh HaShabbos. Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaShivinkah, and so on and so forth. So I understand why there is an element of Kiddush in the middle of davening. In fact, there's no doubt that on a Do'oraisa level, you are Mekayim the mitzvah of Zachor at Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho by davening Maariv. There's no doubt about it. And that the recitation of Al HaKos is only a Durabana, which we repeat at a later time in Minchas Chinuch and Shagasayah, great, go nuts. That, you know, when you get home, if your wife didn't have Maariv, she's on Chayiv on a higher level of Kiddush, she's Chayiv Midorais, you're on Chayiv Midorabanan, how can it be Motzi, someone you're not on the same way? Not going into that tonight. But there is such a discussion. But Havdalah doesn't belong in davening. Why? Because there's no halacha of b'chol weekday for weekday, you're supposed to indicate something unique of that particular. That's not what there is. There's no halacha to b'chol yom, you're supposed to indicate, oh, today's Sunday. No. Havdalah is al hakos. And that is the flip side of Zachor Yom HaShabbos L'Kanchei. Why did they create Havdalah and Shmon Esrei? Only because they were lacking funds and could not afford the wine. So therefore they created Havdalah al-Hakos. Havdalah b'tefillah. Then the Gemara says, after He'eshiru, they got wealthier, they said, you know what, you're saying Havdalah Shmon Esrei, keep it, and you'll do both. Fine. And the Gemara comes to the conclusion, Hamavdalah b'tefillah, tzarech l'Havdalah al-Hakos. Fine. So the Gemara says that. So why did they necessarily insist that these minorot Bishal Zahav. So again, the Rav suggested, here in the name Rab Chaim, if you can think for a moment, and if you can't think, you'll just look at this week's Haftarah of Parshas Baal Oischa, because it's the same Haftarah of Shabbos Chanukah. Rani V'Simchi Batzion is the Haftarah of Shabbos Chanukah, from Zechariah. And towards in the second half of the Haftarah, Zechariah has a vision. That's actually to the Kohen Gadol, Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. What vision does he see? Vihine minorat zahav tahor kulo. Sees a menorah made out of gold. And the Navi says, it turns to, Yehoshua turns to the Navi and he says, Ma ele Adoni, what exactly is this? What do you mean, what is this? Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi are the last of the Nevi'im in the transition between what? Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. So we know exactly, anybody who knows, that he's showing them a vision that even though they were still in Galut, what's going to happen? There will be a Beis HaMikdash. Why is it so difficult for Yehoshua, Kohen Gadol, to understand what the symbolism of the menorah is? The answer is, because he showed him a menorah of Zahav Tahor. And he was aware of the fact that the reality is that it's not going to be a menorah of Zahav Tahor. As I just said, it's going to be a menorah of lead. So the question which was asked, Ma'ela Adoni, is why are you giving me a symbol of something that will not indeed take place? What is your reason? And what's the answer that is given, says Rab Chaim? Because the vision was not for the second Beit HaMikdash, but there is going to be a third Beit HaMikdash. That the Beit HaMikdash, which we, in the time of post-Zechariah, we are going to build, what's going to happen? It's going to be destroyed. But the third one is going, and what's the third Beit HaMikdash is going to be made, what? Completely out of gold. And he's showing him a vision of the known. And what does he tell him? What's the next to the last pasuk? Lo bechayil v'lo bekoach, ki im beruchi amar Hashem tzvaot. Why is that phrase used to clinch the argument You know what? Calm down. This is going to be the symbol. Why? Because as opposed to the first sanctification of Eretz Yisrael, which was a temporary one, Kitsha Rishayna was Kitsha L'Sha'ata V'lo Kitsha L'Atid Lavo. The second sanctification of Eretz Yisrael was Kitsha L'Sha'ata V'Kitsha L'Atid Lavo. And that's why Kedushas Eretz Yisrael still remains today. Still remains. Why? Because it never became Batel. So everybody asks, why is it that there is a difference between Kitsha Rishayna versus Kitsha Shniya? So Nechama, should I tell everybody that? Should I repeat it? Okay. So the Rav once suggested, because it changed, the method of sanctification changed. What method did Yehoshua use to conquer Eretz Yisrael? What method? Kibush. Went around from town to town and waged war with the Ai, Knanim, the Chiti, Amari, the priest. Says the Gemara. Batla ha-kibush, batla ha-kidush. Once the conquest comes to an end because we are overpowered by our enemies, then the Kedusha Eretz Yisrael is paka. Paka. So any Jew who may have survived Nebuchadnezzar after the first Beit HaMikdash, living in Tel Aviv or in Rehovot, and he has an orange grove, he didn't have to give Trumas and Maisras. Why? There's no Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. None whatsoever. Based on the fact that it has no Kedusha. How was the second Beit HaMikdash sanctified? Nobody waged war. Koresh gave Ezra and Nehemiah the right to what? To build the second Beit HaMikdash. That's the first thing they did. They built the second Beit HaMikdash. Said the Rav, in this week's Parsha, this is one of his greatest ever. If you look at this week's Parsha, you will notice at the end of chapter 10, Psukim, Lamed Hei and Lamed Vav, Vayhi bin Soha Aaron, and Uvenucho Yomar. There are inverted nuns bracketing these two parshiot. Inverted nuns. In the Torah, inverted nuns. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry remembers Rashi. Rashi says, Ein kan mikomo. There are brackets here, because they don't belong here, these two psukim. They don't belong here. Why are they listed here? Lehafsik bein puranut lepuranut. Just to interrupt two tragedies that took place. The tragedy that follows is black and white in the Chumash. Two psukim later. Vayhi ha'am kimit onanim, ra ba'aznei Hashem, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to put a fire, and what happened? And vativar b'ktzei ha'machaneh. The fire raged, and it was called tav'eira, based on the fact that it was a fire burnt. That's the tragedy that took place afterwards. What tragedy took place before? Doesn't say any place in the Chumash there was any tragedy. So Rashi relies on a medrash. Rashi says, in Pasuk Chavtet, Moshe says to Yisrael, to his father-in-law, we're standing at Har Sinai, Nosim anachnu el ha-makom, asher amar, we're going to Eretz Yisrael. Where are they standing? At Har Sinai. Says Rashi, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped after mitzvah number 613, Am Yisrael said, we're out of here. Ketinok haboreach mibeit ha-sefer. Like when the bell rings, it's not only the child, it's the teacher as well, charges at a shul, at a school, and they didn't want to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he'd stay for 2 minutes, maybe it'll be number 614, number 615. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu got very angry, and what did he do? He punished Am Yisrael. We don't know where, we don't know when, but he punished them. So that's the end of Perek Yud. Perek Yud Aleph is the beginning of this burning because they were Rab Aznei Hashem. So you put in these two psukim here. Rashi does not tell us where they do belong. Does not tell us where they belong. You look at Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbeinu Bachya at least tells you where they belong. How does he know where they belong? You count 50 parshiyot backwards. Why 50? Because they're bracketed by inverted nuns. So if you count 50 parshiot, very interesting insight, the Rebbe Bachya, if you count 50 parshiot backwards, you'll wind up in Bamidbar chapter 2, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Bamidbar Bet Yud Zayin, where the Pasuk says, V'nasa Ohel Moed. The Ohel Moed will travel. No, that's what happens. It's describing how Am Yisrael traveled. First, what happened was, you know, the two Degalim traveled, then the Ohel Moed travels. So when the Ohel Moed travels, it's appropriate to say, what pasuk? Vayehi bin Soa Ha'aron, Vayomer Moshe, Kum Hashem. And Uvenu Chol Yomar, when Hashem rests, you reassemble the Mishkan, that's where it belongs, in Perek Bet Pasuk Yudzayin. So says Rabbeinu Bachya. Why is it here? He agrees with Rashi, Lahafsik Bein Puranut LePuranut. Yeah?
Do they have an explanation as to why those two psukim were used to separate?
No, he does not have an explanation why those two psukim could have taken any two psukim and just said they're out of order. It's a good question. They don't offer any explanation. Why those two? So the Rav said, no, these two psukim belong right here where they're supposed to be. They were supposed to be right here. What happened? Moshe is telling Am Yisrael, we're about to travel into Eretz Yisrael. Good. Well, if they're about to travel into Eretz Yisrael, how do they expect to what? To conquer the land. They're going to engage in conquest. In conquest. And what accompanied Am Yisrael when they went into war? What accompanied them? The Aron. So had everything gone to plan, that there would be no miraglim, no anything, and everybody just cooperated, what happened? They would be entering into Eretz Yisrael now with the traveling Aron. Vayehiv and so Aron. Perfect, should be right here. Right here. Kuma Hashem v'yafutzu oivecha. Who are those oivecha? The Knani, the Chiti, Amar. Let's get going. The problem is that they were not going into Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Moshe hears what's on their mind at this particular point in time. What are the complaints that they're offering about? Zocharnu et hadaga asher nochal b'mitzrayim chinam. And what happens? Mi ya'achilenu basar. We want a shmolk's sandwich. We want to go to Shmolka Bernstein's. That's what we want to do. We want to go to Shmolka's. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to himself, I'm ready to take them into Eretz Yisrael. And they're worried about Shmolka Bernstein's. A roast beef sandwich. So what is Moshe's reaction? What is Moshe's reaction? What is Moshe's reaction? Forget about it. I'm finished with them. I'm finished with them. What does he say? You know, what is he? Halorgeni atomer? You know, what are you kidding? I'm not here for this. I don't need this. Kill me. I don't need this. So Moshe Rabbeinu understands very well that they're not going into Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, two units later, Eldad and Medad mitnabim b'machaneh. The Torah doesn't say what they prophesied. But Rashi says, what did they say? Moshe meit v'Yoshua machnis. This is before the Meraglim. This is this week's Pasha. Pasha's Bahalotcha. How did they know that? Because they said that, you know, Moshe said, am I a nursemaid to go ahead and take care of them? This is not my job. So instead of these two psukim becoming actualized at this location, right here, they were kept for posterity and bracketed with inverted nuns, taking on a letter nun that is enlarged in Pasuk Chavtet. Nosim anachnu el hamakom. Where are you being noseya? Oh no, you're turning inverted nuns. You're not going any place in Eretz Yisrael. So where are you going? Back into the Midbar for another 40 years. We're going back in for another 40 years. going back into the Midbar. So what ultimately, said the Rav, happened to these two psukim? They became the models of the two times that we entered Eretz Yisrael. The first time, as I said, was with Yehoshua. And we captured the land with the Aron. But that pasuk is conditional. When does the Aron have the capacity to be Mekadesh? When it's Kuma Hashem V'yafutzu Oyvecha V'yanusa Nisanecha Mipanecha. Come Nebuchadnezzar, and what? It's no longer V'yafutzu Oyvecha, it's just the opposite. You know, Chamisha Mehem Rivavar Yerdofu. Five of the Babylonians will chase 10,000 Jews. No more Kiddush. Therefore, the first sanctification of Eretz Yisrael was Kitsha L'Sha'ata V'lo Kitsha L'Atid Lavo. The second pasuk, Uvenucho Yomar, refers to the sanctification of the Beit HaMikdash the second time around. We are told by the Rambam in Hilchos Beis Abchira that Shlomo HaMelech had a dream on the night that the Beit HaMikdash was built. The dream said Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. On the night that the Beis HaMikdash was built, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shared a vision. I'm not going to tell you when Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. So Shlomo built a tunnel on the Har HaBayit and told his children, who told their children, who told their children, that if you see the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash imminent, you take the Aron, throw it into this tunnel, lock it up and throw away the keys. And that's exactly what happened. Yoshiyahu was gonez the Aron. That's black and white in the text. He was gonez the Aron. Hid the Aron. So when Ezra and Nehemiah come back, they don't have the Aron any longer to be Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael. They can't go around. So what do? They build the Beit HaMikdash. And by virtue of the Aron resting on Har HaMoriah, Uvenucho Yomar, Shuvah Hashem, Revot Alfei Yisrael. It's not conditional to Kuma Hashem V'yafutzu Oyvecha. All it means is you have to return tens of thousands. If tens and thousands of Jews come back, this will sanctify the land, and it'll never become, it's not subject to what? To condition. Hence, Kitsha Shniya is Kitsha Lisha'ata Ve Kitsha Le'atid Lavo. Ve Kitsha Le'atid Lavo. Therefore, now coming full circle, in the Haftarah of this week's Parsha, Zechariah sees a vision, not of the second Beit HaMikdash where the menorah is made out of lead, but he sees a menorah because it's the vision for the third. You know why? Because it's Beruchi v'lo b'chayil. How am I going to sanctify this Mikdash? I'm not going to use military might, chayil. I'm not going to use military like Yehoshua did. I'm going to use my spirit, ki in Beruchi amar Hashem Tzvaot. All is my spirit which is contained within the Aron. And I always tell Spielberg, you made a big mistake. Raiders are lost. You look in the wrong place. I know exactly where the Aron is. Right there on Har HaBayit. It's not mine. It's a Mishnah in Yuma. Some cleanup, some maintenance man, moved a tile. He looked inside and he died on the spot. On the spot. It's a Mishnah. Don't run. It's a Mishnah Yuma. And Chachamim Chazal understood that he had dislodged a tile where the Aron was underneath. And as the Pasuk says, that the Pasuk which we read 2 weeks ago in Parshas Bamidbar, what is it? Lirot et HaKodesh, Kivala et HaKodesh, Vametu. You look at the Aron, inappropriately, you die. And that's exactly what happened. So they closed, instead of taking it out, it's hard to understand why they didn't take it out. They closed it up, and that was it. Then the Machnish Visnik. But that's what's happening here. So therefore, we will have several psukim by Simcha Pete Shoeva indicating of a themes of Yemot HaMashiach. Some of the songs, the themes that will be articulated at the Simchat Beit HaShoeva is things about Messianic time. So in order to enhance, to demonstrate that they believe be'emunah shleima, that there is going to be a Messianic time, during which what's going to be built? The third Beit HaMikdash, which will never be destroyed. What did they do? They took minolot shel zahav, in effect the fulfillment of the Haftarah of Parshas Behalot Cha and Shabbat Chanukah, where Yehoshua Kohen Gadol sees a menorah made out of Zahav Tahor. That's how the Rav analyzed this particular Medrash, this particular Mishnah. I'm going to get right there. Rashi says, that presentation of Parshas Behalot Cha was supposed to be a tribute to Rabbi Joseph Lookstein, who was in Ramaz for who knows how many years. And by the time the Rav was supposed to deliver, he had passed away. And then the Rav changed it to a tribute, a memorial for Joseph Lookstein at Ramaz. And that was his presentation that night on Parshas Behalot Cha. It's actually, there's a recording of it if you want to listen to it. It's only 2.5 hours, that's all. I just gave it to you in 15 minutes. But it was really good. Rashi says on Pirchei Kehuna, right? What does Rashi say? What word does Rashi say? Anybody take a look? On the Pirchei, what does Rashi say? That's what the Mishnah says. What does Rashi say? Does Rashi make a comment?
Yiladim,
what?
Bachurim.
What do you think Rashi's point in making that comment is? Where was the Rashi? Where's the Rashi?
Yiladim.
The Mishnah had said, what does the Mishnah say? Arba yiladim bipirchei kehuna. So Rashi says bachurim. Okay, Rabbatai. You always know that unless there is a problem, Rashi keeps his mouth shut. Let's say anything. Just what is Rashi adding by saying bachurim as opposed to yeladim? We don't know what the word yelad means. What does it mean? Good. So again, the Rav felt what Rashi is telling us is that they at least have to be adults. Adults. No ktanim. The normal translation of yiladim is what? Little kids. Says Rashi, no. They are at least bachurim, at least adults. Because, and there is a Rambam to support Rashi. Rambam writes, in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Halacha Zayin. And in Perek Hei, Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Halacha Tet Zayin. How we get that? Write it down. Gimel, Zayin, and Hey Tet Zayin. Once for Kohanim and once for Levim. The Rambam repeats it twice. Based on the fact that the Torah uses the expression, we just had it in last week's Parsha, Ish al Masa'o. Ish al Masa'o. But we darshin, says the Rambam, Ish v'lo katan. Kitanim amufka from Avodas HaMikdash. They are not to engage in the service of the Mikdash. Mufka ad, the Rambam says, Ve'eno nichnos la'avod ad she'yase ish. They cannot engage in any activity ad she'yase ish. There are those who claim, perhaps erroneously, but there are those who claim, that a mitzvah, for example, if you have a kohen, anybody have a kohen here? Kohen? Do your children come up with you l'duchan? They do. There are some rishayim who say that you should not have a minor engaging in birchat kohanim, because if you believe in the mikdash, birchat kohanim was part of the avodah. Vayered me'asot achatat vayavarech esam. So there's no thing. You know, you don't go up there and we don't paskin that way. But there are those who say, and even this, which is not technically avodah. Apparently Rashi, by saying Bachurim, is highlighting that it's not a punk, not a little pisher, but somebody who has at least reached age of mitzvot in relationship to that. Point number 5.
Why would he say Gidolim?
It's a good question. I don't know. Is it compelling that he meant adults? No. But then if you don't want to accept it, you're going to have to answer the question, what did Rashi add by writing the word Bachurim as opposed to Yeladim? What was wrong with that? He added something. You don't have to agree that this is the interpretation, but you have to ask the question, Vosat Gebadot Rashi? What bothering Rashi? What did he add? That's what's bothering him. Good. Point number five. We mentioned last week about a mibaloe of michnesei kohanim. The ruin, the worn out garments of the kohanim were ripped and used for what? For the wicks. For this avukah. So, if you remember correctly, Tosfos raised the question. Tosfos raised the question about Me'ila, if you remember correctly. So we read the Tosfos in Shabbos that dealt with it. However, there is a more important question than that. Forget about Me'ila, that there should be no Issa Me'ila, based on, there is a halacha, that after something has been na'aseit mitzvata, na'aseit mitzvata, automatically there is no me'ila when something has been fully taken care of. No me'ila. So you would imagine that if you have garments that are what? Worn out, so their function is no longer what? It's not functionable. So automatically the Issur Me'ila should be dismissed and there should be no problem to answer Tosfos' kasha. So the response to that is the following. The only time that something you can say when is something na'aseik mitzvatan? When there is a certain time frame by which something has to take place, and that time frame lapses, under those circumstances, the mitzvah has been completed. I'll give you an illustration. What happens to the big day kihuna? You, Rav Kol, you're going to be Kohen Gadol. Okay? Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol. What happens to your big day lavan that you wear after Yom Kippur? Oh, now the pasuk says v'hini chamsham. You have to bury them. Now, why do I have to bury them? I know the pasuk says so, but v'zhak the halacha. What does the halacha tell us? Why does it have to be buried? Because normally the bigadin of big day lavan with nasas mitzvasan. Yom Kippur's over. They can't be used for Tuesday's Avodah Eloka. They're done with. They're done with. So there should have been what? A heter to use them. That's why the Torah, for some reason, has to say no. I don't want you to use them. And how do you convey that you're not supposed to use them? V'hini chamsha. But, something which does not have a definitive time, under those circumstances, are not subject to na'ases mitzvasan, and as a result, they would have been 100%. They would remain 100% usher, because you can't say it's na'ases mitzvasan. It's not na'ases mitzvasan. But the mere fact that what? That they rubbed out shebalu should invoke another halacha by kodshim. Let's assume I have an animal that was set aside as a korban. So when will nasis mitzvasan be? When is nasis mitzvasan of a korban? After the zrikas hadam. Until that time, there's an isa me'ila on that animal. It can't lean on it, can't do anything. What happens if the animal dies before he had a chance to what? To be zorek to shecht and zorek to dam. The halach is kachim shemesu. There's no isa me'ila. No isur me'ila with kachim shemesu. even though it's not Nasis Misvasa. So many Achroinim ask, if you have a garment of a Kayin Gadol, or any Kayin, pants of a Kayin, that are totally worn out, treat it like what? Like what? Kodshim Shemesu. And therefore, what is Tosis and Shabbos worried about the Issa Me'ilah? There is no Issa Me'ilah. Why? Because they're no longer the Avodah for which it's intended is no longer possible. You can't use these for the Avodah any longer because they're worn out. It's not L'chavodu L'tifaret. So once it's no longer usable, by definition, it should suspend its Kedusha and the Issa Me'ilah. Therefore, Tosis, if you remember, had to suggest, oh, Bezdin was Masneh. Bezdin made a Tanai. When they were dedicated these pants, they made a Tanai. You know what? That when they become worn out, we're going to use them for something else. Question which many Achroinim asked is, what needed a Tanai Bezdin for? By definition, it should fit into the pattern of what? Of Kodshim Shemesu, and not be concerned about that at all. Yeah?
That animal of Kodshim, if it gets some worm, can you actually eat it?
No, the Torah itself says, yes, of course you can eat it. That's the only thing you're allowed to do. The Torah says, you are poded about mum, and what do? It says, we just read it on the... No. That's a deveva. About mum, you're poded. You have to eat. It's la'achla v'loy l'giza. You're not allowed to work with it, and you're not allowed to use the shear of the wool. You have to eat it. You have to eat a balmum. Have to eat it. Yeah. Okay, let me get invited. Can I just borrow someone's gemara for a second? Thank you. Can you look in? Thank you. Those were just a couple of ha'aras. Now I can invite them. We're on the last line of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Chasidim v'anshei ma'ase. Hayu meraknim bifneihem ba'avukos shel or shebiyadeihem. Chasidim and anshei ma'ase were the only ones who were allowed to actually dance by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, as we pointed out earlier. It was not opened to the Hamoinam. V'omrim lifnehem divrei shiros v'tushbachos. V'halaviyim b'kinoros u'b'ninovelim u'b'metzoltayim u'b'chatzosros u'b'kleishir b'lo mispar. The New York Philharmonic Orchestra, or the Egyptian Philharmonic Orchestra, which Shlomo HaMelech used on the opening night of the Beis HaMikdash, called the Egyptian Philharmonic, and that's why he slept late, because he was up until 4 o'clock partying the next morning, and he missed the opening of the Beis HaMikdash. Where did they do this? Al Chamesh Esrei Ma'alot Hayordot Me Ezras Yisrael Ezras Nashim Kineged Chamesh Esrei Shir Hamalos Shebetehillim. Everybody knows that there are 15 Shir Hamalos which were sung as Am Yisrael would be coming to be Ola Regel, the 15 steps between the Ezras Nashim and Ezras Yisrael. If you go on the Harabayis, you can see where those 15 steps are very, very clearly. Leviim sha'alehem omdin sha'alehem omdin bichlei shir va'omrim shira, and they sing shira. They sing shira. Va'omdu shnei kohanim b'shar ha'elyon shiyored me'ezras Yisrael ezras nashim u'shtei chatzotzes b'yadehen, and two kohanim would stand at the Shar HaElyon. I'm not sure exactly which. Anybody know which gate the Shar HaElyon is?
Shar
Nikanor. Okay. Where is that exactly? Which one is Sharni Kanor in Yerushalayim? Anybody they know which one it is currently? We know which one is Nikanor. Which one is it?
It's not a Shar
in the Beis HaMikdash. Right, not a Shar in the Beis HaMikdash. This is a Shar in the Beis HaMikdash. Which one is it? You know? Shar Nikanor? Don't know. So what up? Mishnei Chatzos V'yadayin. Kara HaGever. The rooster roosted. Taku V'heiriyu V'taku. And they blue a tkia, trua, and a tkia. Tkia, trua, and a tkia. So Rashi says, take a look at Rashi. What is the purpose of this trua, tkia, tkia? Rashi says, Zesimon leilech limalot hamayim lenisach min hashiluach. The reason why the chatzotros blew this tkia was based on the fact that it was the signal given to go out to the Shiloach and get the water for the Nisach HaMayim of one of the days of Sukkot. That's what Rashi says. Other Rishonim disagree based on the fact that Rashi himself, two lines later, quotes the halacha of Taku Veheriyo Vitaku Ubi Rosh Hashanah Yalif Bechol Tkios Pshuto lefaneha, or pshuto leachreha, a trua beemtza. The Gemara learns out from a combination of Yovel and Rosh Hashanah that every single time that there is a mitzvah of tkiya, you have to go ahead and blow the format of a straight sound, what we call tkiya, a trua, a broken sound, to be followed by a straight sound. Pshuta, trua, and tkiya afterwards. Pshuta afterwards. Now, if this is a halacha, if there was simply an opportunity to do what? To just make an announcement that what? It's time to go to the Kreis HaGaver. So it really doesn't have any halachic significance. Why would it necessarily have to follow the format of a halachic tkiya shofar? As we blow on Yovel, on Yom Kippur, on Yovel, or on Rosh Hashanah. Just to make an announcement. Why would the announcements have to be tkiya trua tkiya? What would be the purpose of it? You know, any sound would have been enough. Probably a tkiya, a long tkiya, or two tkiya blasts. The trua in itself is always indicative, as it is on Rosh Hashanah, that there is, you know, some tzara within the air, some element of, and it's there's a kiyum to blow, to what? To recite a trua, to blow a trua, and that. So what might be happening here? And again, the Rav suggested the following. We know that whenever we say Hallel and Shira, we see this in our Hallel, every time we say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for whatever He's done, we also make reference to the fact that there are still plenty of tzaros lo yalini. Still plenty of tzaros. What do we say? Ahavti gishmas, right? Afafuni chevle maves. Umitzaresho mitzauni. Tzara viagon emtza. Why is that in the middle of Hallel? Why in the middle of Hallel? You want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Hanukkah, you want to thank Him for Kriyas Yamsuf, and you want to thank Him for Yontif, for this Nes, and that Nes, and all of a sudden you're saying things are terrible? The answer is yes. Every time a person recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been good to you, you have to be cognizant of the fact that there are times that right now you're experiencing what we call Gilui Shechina. There will be times when you're going to be experiencing Hester upon Him, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not explain things to you. I know, I'm sure everybody here, when you read the paper and heard about that terrible tornado in Oklahoma and 20 kids were killed. So when it happened in Sandy Hook, I didn't have any kindness to Rabbi Shoda. Why? Because somebody took out a gun and shot it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't do that. There's some madman who took the life of those 26 kids. But our tornado was orchestrated, as we say in davening, Ruach Se'ara Osa Dvaro. A powerful wind is fulfilling His will. And you can turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, what do you want from these 20 kids? Couldn't the tornado go one half a degree this way and they would have been spared? Wouldn't have hit the school. It's hard to understand. So you can be in the best of times and recognize that your fate can change in just an instant. So we always conclude the Hallel. Yeah, you say, Haydu Lashem Kitoiv Kilam Chasdai. But we also pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ana Hashem Hoshiyana, when I'm going to be experiencing Tzara V'Yagon Emtza, and Afofuni Chevle Maves, I will need your assistance. And I'm praying right now, even though it's a good time, I'm praying right now. I'm going to need your assistance. I'm asking you to provide it for me right now. So here too, they're standing at the height of Simcha. Simchat Beit HaShoeva. What could be better for a Jew on the Yontav of Simcha, of Yontav of Sukkot, Usmachtam Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem, standing there in the Mikdash, Shoev Ruach HaKodesh. What could possibly go wrong? The answer is, tomorrow morning something can terribly go wrong. So what do? We invoke the sound of the Shofar, which indicates what? Terrible tragedy for Am Yisrael, which is the sound of the Truah, the broken. So therefore, the Tkiah, Truah Tkiah, is not just an announcement according to some Rishonim. It's much more than that. It creates an awareness that as happy as we are at this particular moment, one has to be aware of the possibility that things are going to change, and as a result, we're invoking HaKadosh Baruch Hu's assistance even as we go forward, standing on this particular day. All right, we'll stop here. Continue next Devach. The next week's Monday is Memorial Day. What's happening? Are people coming Memorial Day? Is there going to be? Yeah. In the morning? No, Monday morning. Monday night. Okay. Monday night it is. It's going to be a seventh game of the Rangers game. Will there be a, will it be a seventh game?